Thank you for tuning in to Tribes Martial Arts Radio. I'm your host, Sifu Wilson.
And I'm Bryant, your co-host, Bryant Duncan. And together we are
Tribes
Martial Arts Radio.
Again, I'm your host, Sifu Wilson, owner and head instructor of Wilson Martin Tribes Martial Art Academy at 3129 USI 30, suite number B in Mesquite, Texas, 75150. The phone number there is 214-498-0976, or email me at flh2ow@ll.com. All right, Brian, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see, you've been doing martial arts with learning JKD, I guess going on, 4 years now, steady, because, you know, life gets in the way. But let's get into what we was talking about. You know, I got an interesting, had an interesting conversation about last week's show. I think.
Okay, wait. Before you go, because I know, and anybody who knows us will know that Brian is passionate. So a lot of times you're going to hear Brian kind of leading out on stuff. I let Brian go ahead and talk.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot built up inside, and you really have to let it get it out.
It's a long week.
Or I won't hear, or I'll hear it all week. Yeah, it'll be a long week because I'll hear it all week.
Right.
So before we get started, we have three ringside rules I'd like to give to you. Rule number one, we're a PG-13 show with a variety of listeners, so please watch your verbiage. Rule two, respect the ideas and comments of others. We're simply sharing information. And rule three, we respect all martial arts. We're one family. All right, Brian, come on back with it.
All right, well, since we're one family, you know, I had this interesting conversation. I said, this guy said, hey, what do you mean there's no submission moves in wrestling?
Oh, somebody heard the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to go back and I had to explain myself to him. So let me explain to those, because, you know, we have the great UFC Fight 170 coming up, which is going to pose a wrestler versus a judo practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me clarify some things. When I say submission moves, I am talking about the heel hooks. I am talking about the Chinese armbar, the triangle. I am talking about the Darce choke. All of those, that's what I mean when I say submission moves. Okay, so I'm not talking about pinning someone down so they can't move, or, you know, resting on them. Well, let me not say resting on, but holding them down, okay, until they can't move. So that's what I mean when I say submission moves. So let me make sure that I'm clear on that fact. Okay.
Okay.
Had to get that out.
Okay, you good with that?
I'm good.
Okay, since you cleared that up, I got to clear a little something up myself, too.
Okay.
Okay. I also got a call from someone and asked me about jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
And I said, well, what is it you want to know? And they said, well, you did a series on kids in martial arts. And I said, yes, we did. And they said, well, you know, you brought up some archery in the start, and I agreed with everything you said, but what about jiu-jitsu and judo?
Hmm.
And I said, you're right. You know, and I said, you know, we talked taekwondo and karate so much.
Yeah.
That
and boxing.
And boxing. And we did mention judo, jiu-jitsu in there because we talked about kids in MMA,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we didn't, I guess, really highlight the fact of, you know, them also going into judo and jiu-jitsu. Also besides taekwondo and karate.
Right.
So I want to put it out there and clarify that and say, yeah, those are all good arts for kids to start in to get endurance and everything. Okay. So now we've got that out the way. We got to get into this UFC 170 thing, man.
Mm.
Man, we got the Olympians up here, dude. We got three Olympians, man.
Yeah.
We got Rousey, McMahon, and Cormier.
Yeah.
You know, so like, we had Rousey. She
well,
got the
I
bronze.
Mean, technically, you could say four because, you know, Patrick did train.
That's right. Patrick Cummings, he did train,
he did
even
train,
though he didn't
so.
He didn't go. But we're going to talk about him. We're going to slide him in.
Okay.
But he didn't get anything, so we're going to talk about the winners right now.
Okay?
Because Rhonda, we know she got the bronze in judo.
Yeah, yeah.
In 208.
Yeah.
And we know that Sarah got the silver in 204.
In wrestling.
In wrestling. And also, Kamir in 204. In 208 was the captain.
Well, he was captain in 208.
Okay, he was captain 208. Okay, thank you. He was captain 208. I know he went from 204 to 208.
Yeah.
But he was captain 208 and also was a medalist, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't compete. He had a kidney infection.
Okay.
So that took him out from that. But he was supposed to. That's why they made him captain. You know, you can't be a captain and be a punk. So, you know, he earned it. He earned the right to be a captain.
Okay, so what can we expect from this matchup with Rousey? Will she try her signature move, the arm bar, or will a man be able to counter with her wrestling? Rousey says she doesn't revel in her wins. McMahon says Rousey's just another opponent. Just another opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that we've had, we're going to say three Olympians, but we're going to say four that, since we're going to give Cummings his due,
yeah,
we'll say four Olympians that represent our United States,
yeah,
are going to fight in the UFC.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. We were just talking about, you know, wrestling last week, and we did touch on jiu-jitsu a little bit with the submissions and, you know, the natural progression. So here we now have two wrestlers with Cormier and McMahon. But we'll focus on the girls. It's interesting, again, you know, just like I said, she started out with wrestling in high school. Her brother was a wrestler, too, and All-American. But, unfortunately, do you guys realize this story of this girl? You know, I was doing some research on her.
Oh, you're speaking on Sarah?
Sarah McMahon.
Yeah, she had a hard life.
And, man, she had a really hard... Her brother was killed, murdered, in 99. Then her fiancé was thrown from a Jeep in 04. Who was an All-American wrestler himself, Stephen Blackford. So, you know, and she has all of this, but she says, this doesn't inspire me to become a great fighter. I just want to fight. You know, she said, you know, I don't want people to get caught up in my story. Because this fight is probably the most unassuming fight to have so many great fighters, two great fighters, women fighters, they're fighting it. But nobody's really promoting this fight because... Well, Sarah doesn't want anybody to focus on her story. She's not trying to sell the fight. She just wants, you know, to go out there and win and let the fight sell itself. And then you got Ronda Rousey, who's really not much of a talker. She does talk a little noise. You know, she did with Misha Tate because she just didn't like her. But even she's kind of quiet on the subject matter. You know, both of them.
You notice that.
You know, they're not really saying nothing to each other. They're just kind of like, I respect her.
Which is good to one point,
yeah,
but to another point, it shows for a dull fight to some point as far as selling that fight.
Well, yeah, and that's why nobody's really talking about the fight. I mean, you have two, you know, Olympians going at it for the first time in UFC history. There's never, woman, there has been two Olympians competing at the same time for a championship match.
Well, like I said, you know, we're saying these two are going against each other and almost saying four are going against each other because each of these guys that were on the team together are going against each other.
Yeah.
Okay? They all represent the country together.
Yeah.
And there just should have been more hype to me behind this fight. You know, as we get into the cards, we're going to see that the card's not all that demanding either.
Which is why you got to sell the main card.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Why should I tune in? You know, do I want to just go to, you know, a bar and just watch the fight there? Or do I really want to spend some money to see this fight? So, I mean, but what's more important? Is it the class? Because if these two girls go out and start talking noise to each other, then we're going to say, well, look at how they're acting. They're acting all stupid. But now they're acting classy, and now we're not happy because now the fight is boring. They haven't even fought yet.
You know, it's kind of dang It's dang if you do it, dang if you don't to me. But,
yeah.
You know, I kind of take the Chael Sonnen
approach
on it.
Okay.
You know, you got to admit, he might get in there and he might get beat down and
yeah.
he might win a few.
Yeah.
But one thing, you're not going to stop his mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, he is a definite salesman, you know, and I give him his credit for that. He is a salesman. So in that aspect, I think them coming out, you know, just talking a little more, like I said in the beginning, you know, Rousey was saying that she didn't revel, you know, in her wins and that Sarah was saying that, hey, she's just opponent.
Another fighter. Yeah.
You know, you know, I see them playing each other off, you know, like, you know, big thing.
Yeah.
But still, we need to put a little more emphasis in that. You know, we need to put a little heartfelt in that, you know, a little emotional content.
Well, let me give you some emotional content then. Let's look at stats, one versus the other, okay?
Okay.
So you got Ronda Rousey, 8-0.
Right.
Sarah McMahon, 7-0. Roughly about the same weight. Sarah has about a one-inch reach advantage over Rousey. So pretty much they stack up well against each other. Now, if you really want to talk some noise, even though it's wrestling, she still got a silver medal. She's the first woman to do that.
That's right.
In America.
In America.
From America.
In America.
Okay. Ronda Rousey, she kind of got her bronze on a technicality, so to speak. I don't know, and I hope I'm not offending anybody. But
We'll get a call on it.
Yeah. Well, hey, go ahead. Feel free. In fact, let's get some calls now. 214-814-5890. Okay, or hit us up on tribesmartialart@gmail.com.
Yeah, because we're interested in what you got to say about
that. Yeah, because I know we got some true Ronda Rousey fans here. But let's be real, okay? So Ronda Rousey, she lost her quarterfinal match to Edith Botch, okay? Mm-hmm. But she defeated Ann Boeham to win the bronze,
right.
Okay? And she did that, which made her the first woman judo winner mm-hmm. from America since the inception of the sport in 92. So, you know, but here we got Sarah McMahon. Well, she just won hers outright. She lost for the gold, but she basically won hers outright. However, if we look at, like Ronda Rousey said, well, you know what? That's the Olympics. This is MMA.
Uh-oh.
Two different worlds.
Uh-oh.
So let's look at the fights that Ronda Rousey's had. She beat Miesha Tate twice.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about notable fights. I'm not going to go down her whole laundry list of victims. She beat Liz Carmouche, and everybody pointed to that fight as, okay, so now we see some of her Achilles heel start to show. Because, you know, Liz was winning the fight until she made that fatal mistake. Then she beat Sarah Kaufman, okay, who is an excellent fighter, tough fighter, okay, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see more of her. She's highly respected in the women's MMA. Okay, so let's look at Sarah McMahon, okay? McMahon has fought and beat Sheila Gaff and Shayna Baszler, okay, who is a decorated women's MMA champion too. But here's the difference. Even though Ronda has a great camp, you know, she trains with the Diaz brothers over there North California and everything, you know, and then she got Jean LaBelle, the great Jean LaBelle on her side too. But Sarah McMahon is the one that's actually having a hard time finding training partners. She's the one that's having a hard time finding, her manager has her training with guys like Eddie Alvarez, who's the champion for Bellator. And in fact, Eddie said, what the F? Who the F is that? Who can F and beat her?
Yeah.
Okay? That's G-rated people. Okay? So, but he was so impressed with her. She's fighting dudes and out-wrestling some of the guys that she's training with.
Well, that's almost like Cyborg. But like I said, we're going to get back into all this stuff.
Well, Cyborg is ranked number one right now. I don't know if you know that. I say we're going to get back into that.
Go ahead.
But anyway, could this, and can you imagine what it would do for all the rowdy people out there to, you know, if Sarah defeats Ronda Rousey?
Sure.
A no-name. Really, definitely to the UFC, because, you know, they just put up a Wikipedia page for her, okay? She's
You're wrong. You're wrong, man.
She's not mainstream, and she's still not, you know, because she's not selling the fight, she's not going to be mainstream. And what would it do to women's MMA if she wins? And she's going to be quiet. She's not going to take the Ronda Rousey, you know, when she tries to, you know, she doesn't mean what she says.
I think she's going to be kind of forced to if that happens. It's almost like GPS, you know.
GSP.
I call him GPS. Right now, because we're looking for him.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for him right now.
You are looking for him.
We're looking for him.
Well, you know, okay. I saw him corner in the fight the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
But no. When George came in, you know, you think about how humble he was, you know, because when he first came in, remember he was fighting Matt Hughes.
Yeah.
And Matt Hughes was his idol.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the first fight they had, he was like, during the headlight, he went stunning. He's like, it's like, I hate to say it, flip to the football mode right quick. It's like the guys here in Dallas, they realize that they're Cowboys and they get out there on the field and they're standing in the star and they get starstruck and forget there's a game going on around. Okay? So it was kind of like that at some point, you know, when he got with Hughes. But then the second time he came back, he went ahead, he dominated, he took it.
Answered.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. And then after that, and that's my point, he started building. Mm-hmm. So that's what she would have to do because gradually, as he became a champion, his demeanor had to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he had to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get out there and stand up and talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, if Sarah comes up, I think that, you know, in time, slowly, you know, she'll change into that thing she has to be. You know, she can go take some Chael Sonnen lessons, like I said. But
well, you know, they're going to be coming for it. They're going to be gunning for it now.
Oh, definitely that. And then Ronda, it's funny that she's judo, okay, and Sarah's wrestling. But where did Ronda get her name from?
From a wrestler.
Rowdy.
Rowdy Piper.
That's it.
And check this out. He gave because it was actually supposed to be an insult to her, but she did so well that the meeting got set up. She met Rowdy Piper.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. And he gave her, after seeing her in action, he said, "It's yours." He gave a blessing.
Hey.
So, you know, no longer an insult. Now it's like a... It's like, I want to be called that. You know, she has revitalized the name. Mm. So, but you know, going back to the Sarah McMahon, I'm gonna say this. I think she's gonna pull off the upset.
I think she's gonna surprise you because Ronda. I mean, seriously. I mean, you look at it, and she's just become a one move person.
Yeah.
You know, we know that the armbar is coming.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know.
They say one trick pony.
Yeah, but you know they say your best can become your worst.
Yeah,
you know it can become your downfall, your nightmare, mm-hmm. because everybody starts to know it and you're not changing, so they start looking for you how you set it up. You know mm-hmm. how you get to it. Is it your panic move?
Mm-hmm.
You know when those guns get put on you and you can't take them. Is that when you duck and take your shoot? You know and you try to get them to the ground mm-hmm. so they can get those bees off you.
Yeah,
you know and hope you don't catch some elbows when you get down there. So, I mean. I'm wondering how long it's going to last, or I'd like to see some more versatility in her game.
I'd like to see a box more.
You know?
I'd like to see a box more. She said that she has the best hands.
Well, she's training with Nick and Nate, okay?
Yeah.
You got Nick and Nate at night.
Yeah.
Okay? and they're great punchers, okay?
Yeah.
I think they take too many hits sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they go for that one knockout thing, and they'll take kicks coming in. Still, if you're getting kicked or something, you know, points are still being added on mm-hmm. or taken. So, you know, I think that... I don't think anything I want to see because right now I'm just speculating because I haven't seen that boxing game. So I want to see.
Well, she said she's been working on it.
Real quick, guys.
Yes, sir.
Hey, to interrupt you guys.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Thank you.
We need to call him Roddy.
Yeah, that's Rowdy Roddy right, back there. Right, cut man. That's our cut man back there.
Well, you guys getting some Twitter reaction on your topic about 170. At Ryan Scalia wants to know if in UFC 170s, event is Ronda Rousey the Floyd Mayweather of MMA?
No.
Mm-mm. Not even close.
Not even close. Even though Jean LaBelle did say she's the best judo practitioner he's ever seen. No.
When you talk about Floyd Mayweather, well, let's tap on what Jean LaBelle said.
Okay.
He's a grappler, so he gave her his blessing. As a grappler also.
Right.
Okay, but she's not a puncher. We haven't seen that yet. As we were just talking about that.
Right.
We haven't seen that yet. So, you know, it's yet to be seen. But right now, no.
Not even
close. And then to put her in the same lane with Mayweather, that's saying a lot. So that's kind of hard right now. She has a lot of proving to do.
Now, I guess the question is, are we talking about popularity or are we talking about fighting? Because she is the face, basically. She has taken over the face of... MMA period, man and woman. You know, she's actually pulling in more than Brock Lesnar did when he was here.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess a sellable fight, yeah, she's definitely going to be a sellable fight. But is she on the skill level as Floyd Mayweather as far as fighting?
No. Floyd Mayweather has change-ups, and we're still looking for hers. And then when we start talking about, I mean, the impressive fight, and we're going to talk about it later, I'm just tapping on it. I'm going to jump into it. But her and Ronda Rousey, and will we ever see that fight? And that's going to be the change. And is Ronda Rousey more
afraid
of?
I know you're not talking about Chris Cyborg.
You know it.
I know you're not talking about it.
I was trying to pause and let you say that.
I know you're not talking about Chris Cyborg.
So see.
She's ranked number one.
See, and Chris, now if you want to call somebody closer to Floyd Mayweather, then in lady form, then right now get at the Chris. Right now, get at the Chris.
I don't know. She may be in man form too.
You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
She is a bad something.
Well, she is. Have you seen her workout?
I have seen her
workout. She's a monster. I give her credit. She's a monster.
But anyway.
So we hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I know that was a circumlocution, but anyway, there it is.
Is that all you have for us, Cutman?
That's all I got for right now. Sorry.
Well, check this out. Let me. I got to talk about this. I don't know. I watched some of Sarah's fight. I'm just a fan now. But they were talking about how Ronda was throwing Misha around the last fight like a rag doll. Did you see that? Did you see Misha go? I think Misha wanted to see what the – I love Misha, by the way. Okay? I love Misha. But she was just outclassed. Mm. She was just outclassed. Mm. You know, she.
That's a good way to put it too, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good way to put it.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. Yeah, she was outclassed. She's a dynamic fighter.
Right.
But she was just outclassed. You know what I'm saying? She tried to play. In fact, her coaches were saying punch, punch, punch. But she tried to wrestle with her. She tried to grapple with her. And that's when, and she played that game, and that's how she really got thrown around too. But you really didn't see Ronda throw any hands, and that's what I want to see. Now, can she throw Sarah around like that?
Hey.
Because Sarah, yeah, she lives in the gym. Yeah, she lives in the gym. But, you know, I think the thing that's going to make people fall for Sarah is the fact that she's just the, you know, first Ronda was supposed to be the every person, the people's champion. But Ronda kind of rubbed people the wrong way after that last tough season,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so people really got to see what kind of attitude she had, and it was turned off by it. So, and Ronda herself said people are waiting for me to lose.
Well, I mean, you know, she has a hard attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know.
But you got to say it's refreshing, though.
Yeah.
That she's speaking her mind. Yeah, she's not letting the media dictate her actions.
I give you that.
You know?
I give you that. I mean, she says how she feels, and she puts that out.
In a PC world.
Hey. So, man, I don't even know there.
Well, we're about to go to break. Hey, check us out every Wednesday night. Tell your friends, tell your instructors that we're on Wednesday night from 7:30 to 8:30. Give us a call, 214-814-5890, or hit us up on triesmartialarts@gmail.com.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, pull up a ringside stool and join in. We're Tribes Martial Arts. We're talking martial art radio. Hey, we're on every Wednesday night, 7:30, 8:30 p.m. CTS time. Join in with us. Now, again, if you're just getting in, we're discussing UFC 170, and we've got a lot of comments on it. So I'll tell you what, we're just going to jump back in here.
Hey, and feel free to give us a call, 214-814-5890, or hit us up on triesmartialarts@gmail.com. All right, so, you know, we spent the first part talking about the girls, okay? So it's only fair now that we talk about the boys. You know, that's my public service announcement because equality is important.
Okay, well, since we just do that, We got to jump into this Daniel Cormier. Get me right on him.
Yeah.
Patrick Cummings fight.
Okay.
Okay, we know that Evans was supposed to fight him at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know he's out.
6 months.
Yep.
Six months with a knee injury.
And then Chael Sonnen stepped up and said that he would take that fight.
Yeah.
But instead, Cormier will be meeting, like I said, one-time training partner, Patrick Cummings.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this, Cummings claims to have made Cormier cry, said he broke him down while they trained together.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, you know, I don't know. But I'm thinking this should be a grudge match. But, you know, Cormier, he gives props to Evans, and he even compared it with John Bones Jones, saying that Evans, he thinks, would be a more harder fight than Jones, that he's more technical, has more knockout power, and is more explosive. But on the other hand, Jones is looking for a super fight itself. And only wants to fight twice in 2014 after his fight with, what's his name, Terrickster?
Tariq.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, but he wants to rematch also with Alexander Gustafsson. Because, you know, that's the only person
nobody's
who really ever gave him a good
down.
Fight.
Yeah, nobody's
you know?
Going to let him live that
so,
down.
So he has to get back in there. Then he even talked about, you know, Chris Weidman, but he said Weidman needs to get his name out there bigger, needs
Weidman,
to prove himself.
Yeah.
And, I called him Weidman.
Okay. Wait, that's what
I'll tell you about that. That's my personal joke. I'll tell you that later. I'll tell you that later. Okay. But anyway, so Weeman, he needs to get his name out there a little better. But Cain Velasquez is waiting on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, he said that he was basically trying to, you know, gradually move up in weight. He didn't want to just be a, you know, just, you know, I fight this fight now. I'm going to the next fight, I'm going to fight at heavyweight level. You know, and that's a smart move, too, on his part, you know, because you don't want to just, you know, go out and do something that you've never done. And it's kind of like using a gun that you never used before in a war, you know. So he wants to gradually get into the heavyweight division and stuff and then and challenge, oh, my gosh, the monster, Cain Velasquez.
Cain Velasquez.
Into a fight. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to this Cormier, Pat Cummings, and this crybaby stuff. Okay, so I don't know if you guys are aware what really happened, but I got to say this. That is a great way to sell a fight because this fight has already overshadowed the main card.
That's what I was trying to get you to say.
Yeah, it has already overshadowed the main card.
Because we got out and talking about the girls and about how quiet they are and not putting anything out to really sell this fight. Now, on the other hand, that's why this fight should have been so great.
Yeah.
Because you had these two lady Olympians going against each other. Should have been some Rousey in that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then, I didn't mean to say it like that. But mayhem, let's say. So, but then, between the guys, I mean, they trained together. One guy saying he beat the other guy down, made him cry. Nah. But one guy went to the Olympics and actually
became a captain.
Produced.
Yeah.
Okay, and one didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know,
well, check this out.
A lot here, man. It's a lot here.
Well, check this out. Let's give Cummings, Patrick Cummings, or Pat Cummings, his Cummings, because now he's going to get his going.
No, I was going to say.
They're saying that Pat Cummings is the guy who walked off the street and could potentially beat a high-level fighter, okay, in Cormier. And if he does, you know, it's going to change the game and the scene all around because the only thing Cummings has done since that little quote-unquote meeting with Cormier was he's only fought in the regional matches, okay? So that's pretty much all he's done, okay? So if you look at his record, it's 4-0. But I want to get back to this crying thing, okay? Now, it takes a lot for a man to cry. It does. So this is what actually happened. We have to remember Cormier was going through the loss of his daughter. Okay, he had just lost his daughter during that time, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And well, even back then, you know, we talked about Sarah McMahon's tragic story, and she definitely has one. Cormier lost his father in 86. His father was killed by his second wife's father. Okay, so, and then he had kidney failure. That's why he didn't compete in 2008. But 2003, can you imagine you're at the pinnacle of your sport in wrestling and in the Olympics, and you just have to deal with the loss of your daughter who just died the year before, and then you have so much tragedy going on in your personal life. So he said when he lost that, because he did give him credit, he said, I lost because my head wasn't into that particular training session. And when I lost to Cummings, you know, and my coach told me, hey, you lost the Olympics. You need to leave. And he said that's why he cried and he ran out, because he was upset the fact that had this been the Olympics, he was not ready to compete after he had put all that time and energy in training.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was still emotionally distraught.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Right.
So that's why he ran out and cried, you know, was crying and ran out. He wasn't crying because of anything that Cummings did to him.
Okay.
He was crying because his coach just told him, get off the mat, you just lost the Olympics. So everything you've been working for these past years has been for naught.
So what you're trying to say is a good chance that Cummings might be crying that night?
It's a, like I said, comings and goings. Because let's look at what Cormier has done since then. 2008, he was captain of the team.
Right.
Didn't get to compete because he had, had kidney failure, okay, that kept him from competing in 2008, which, by the way, he was picked to win it all, okay? Now, he's beaten Roy Nelson, Frank Mir, Jarvis Barnett, Antonio Silva. In fact, he knocked him out, by the way. Won the Strikeforce Grand Prix heavyweight division, okay, And by the way, when he started that, he was just 8-0. No one even knew who he was, but they know who he is now. And now he's one of the top-ranked fighters in the MMA world. Okay, and needless to say, the only reason why he dropped down to the weight class that he's in now, the 205, the light heavyweight, was because he said, I don't want to fight my training partner, my best friend, Cain Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to fight every week, so we know who's better and who's not. But get this. What we do in the room stays in the room. And Cummings broke that rule. You don't go around popping off talking about what goes in the locker room. That stays there, okay? Which, again,
dog, you know what's done in Vegas, stay in Vegas.
There you go. But
hi, Candy.
But now we start to see that, hey, money makes people sell out. And I don't know if you want to say that he sold out, but what do you think?
You just said it all.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I mean, what's more elaborate on that? I mean, you've kind of put it to the grind, you know, right there on that. And you've hit everything on the head. But, you know, I still give Cummings a little credit, even though he jumped and he's trying to make it like Cormier cried. It's a seller.
It is a seller.
It's a seller.
We talk about him now.
It's a seller.
Who was he before this fight?
Exactly.
Who was he?
Nobody.
He fought four fights in regions that nobody even heard of. Okay. And he was making lattes for $8 an hour. So
lattes.
So, I mean, can you imagine if you didn't pay your tip, though? Give him your tip.
Oh, he was going to the ground.
Man, no, he's going to grind you up like coffee. But let's give him his props. You know, he was a walk-on, two-time All-American wrestler at Penn State and 2004 NCAA Heavyweight Division I runner-up. So let's give him his props. He obviously has skill to walk into a Division I school and become a top-level wrestler, make it to the Olympic tryouts. Okay.
No, I always give the devil his due. I mean, no matter what you think about a man, if he put his time and his work in there, you give him credit for it. Because, again, like I said, you might not like it, but he'll make you respect him.
Oh, yeah. Truth is truth. You can argue with truth, but what's the point? So, I mean, you know, but, again, Cormier also, I don't know if you guys know. See, this is what they're not telling you guys. Cormier beat him in the only actual competition wrestling match they had. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So they've already fought before in actual competition. See, it's different when you're training.
Well, see, what I want to see, though, is this.
Okay.
Even though you're enlightening me on that they've been together and they fought in the actual competition. But at that time, were they both grapplers, just plain wrestlers?
Yeah, it was actually wrestling. Man.
Okay, but now we're going to UFC.
Yeah.
We got some knees, elbows, headbutts, and some other stuff that's going to sneak up in here. So we're going to see how is this going to change the fight for either or.
You know, I got to say this about Cormier, though. I'm a fan of Cormier, but when I first saw Cormier punch, I was like, it looked like nothing. But he was knocking dudes out.
Right.
They were more decorated. They would have been in the MMA world longer, and they're just getting knocked out. Antonio Silva knocked out Alistair Overeem.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Like nothing.
Took out Fedor Emelianenko. Like nothing. And then lost to Daniel Cormier. Like nothing. So this guy has true talent. He's proven. He's battle-tested.
But four fights still got me, man. You know, I mean, you get up there and you're doing your thing and you're coming up, but you're still climbing. You still got to play your dues, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me is still like, I mean, he came behind and, he knocked somebody out that was doing damage to some other people, but you can get caught to where every dog has his day because I still kind of feel like that about Silver, Wiseman, Weidman.
Okay, here we go. Too soon. But since you brought up Weidman or Weidman, as you call him, check this out. They're trying to say that this will be on that level that if Pat Cummings was to beat Cormier, it would be equivalent to Weidman beating Silver. It's going to change the game. So they did a comparison study. They said they'll be like Buster beating Mike. The 1980s.
You made me see that picture in my mind.
I thought you liked that. Then they said it would be equivalent to the 1980s U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Russians.
Mm.
Okay, so all of the great underdogs coming back and beating the champions, you know, the ones who were not supposed to win wins. So I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one.
Well, let's see. We're gonna see, man. But every dog has his day, man. You know, you just never know what happens. I hadn't.
Okay.
I hadn't
either.
So,
is there even anyone that exists? Is there?
Hey, do you got anybody out there know that? Is there any kind of tape we can see on this guy, or you know, you guys got some backwood pictures or something? You know, let us know something.
Did you pose with him?
Anything? You got his? Do you got his kindergarten picture? We'll take it.
But anyway, hey, we gotta let these people know. Hey, if you like what you hear, we're gonna be on every Wednesday night from 7:30.
Every Wednesday night.
7:30 to what?
8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
There you go. And also, if you miss us live, just check us out. Go to the website, download the podcast, and listen to it, enjoy it, and hit us up.
Yeah, that way you can pick out your favorite show and go back and kind of really listen to it a little more and see if you have any pros and cons about it, because you might want to call back in on some topics that we've already talked about, and please feel free to do that.
You know what? Maybe we should do this. If you look at the fight card, everybody, I want you guys to look at the fight card. We got, you know, fighters on there. And a little disappointed with some of them, but that's okay because this is their chance.
We have a lot of no names.
Yeah, well, they're making it break it, you know right. what I mean? But I want you guys to call in 214-814-5890 and check this out. Tell us who you think is going to win. You know, let's have a competition. Let's have the pros versus the fans. And we should do that too. We should just go down the line and say, hey, I think this person's going to win, or who do you think? So let's do that. Let's make it interesting tonight, yeah?
Hey, guys, you guys want to know how Vegas has the fight spread laid out?
Yeah.
Okay, they've got McMahon, a 350 underdog.
What? Only because she's not the champ.
They've got Cummings, a 775 odds underdog.
Wait. Before you go to the next one, I got to say this. I always go for the underdog, but I came for this one. But if I must pick an underdog, I would definitely go with McMahon and Cummings just because I want to be rich. Can you imagine the payoff that would be?
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's amazing.
I just won the lottery.
Okay, so you guys guess on McDonald and Maya.
I'm going to say Maya's the underdog.
What about you?
I'm going to say Maya's the underdog, too.
Maya is the underdog, but barely. Barely.
Well, he's a great
I'm looking at the record. They're both in here pretty close. But
Maya's a great grappler, but Roy has hands.
What they give him on his numbers?
Plus 240 for Maya and minus 280.
Okay.
For the other guy.
Roy McDonald?
Yeah.
You know, Roy was supposed to at one time, and we'll talk more about Roy and Damian in a little bit, but Roy is supposed to, you know, that's GSP's training partner, and he was supposed to be the next GSP. In fact, they wanted to, you know, try to get them to fight.
Hey, since you're talking about GSP, let me cut in on something just
okay,
for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Because there's still controversy over GSP Hendricks fight.
Yeah.
You know, Chael Sonnen says GSP wins the fight over Hendricks 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was beat up.
Yeah.
But he won the war.
Okay.
Okay, but what we're trying to see is GPS burned out like his good friend David LaWanda the Crow was? You know, after his defeat to Rich Franklin 2-6 at UFC 56 by decision, you know, he got cut from the UFC a year later. You know? And he's been down ever since. You know, him and George Hain together a lot. And I think they did a documentary. I can't remember what the really name of it was on Devil Awanza, you know, and his fall back on that. But just, you know, just tapping in on him, just wondering, you know, is he just burnt out?
Well, you know, GSP is talking about the pets going on right now with the drug testing and stuff. And he said, you know, the UFC is cherry-picking who they tested in. Based on that, you know, if they're a high-level fighter or if they're a star, they kind of pat them on the shoulder, you know, slap them on the wrist and kind of let them look the other way. However, for some of the other fighters, they're hard on. And that was his argument. You know, why are you really going after this fighter, but you're not going after this fighter? Because obviously the drugs is the steroids. Let me say steroids. Let me differentiate between recreational drugs like your girl Jessica I did. Wrong state, but we'll get into that later. Versus, you know, steroids or performance enhancement.
Well, see, that's one of our problems right now, because in that, as we talk about the girls, and since you brought that, I'm going to jump off the calendar for a minute.
Okay.
And the use of drugs, you know, has been a problem. That's supposedly Dana's problem right now. You know, Tito Ortiz has stepped down as Chris Cyborg's manager because of the things he's going through with Dana. You know, Tito says that, you know, he can live with Dana hating him, but keeping Cyborg out of the UFC because of him is not fair. And so he says Dana still accuses her of using banned drugs, mm-hmm. says she isn't worthy to fight Ronda. So Tito says he needs to step up and quit downing her and either give her a test, put up, or shut up.
Wait. I got to say something about that. So you mean to tell me that Dana's protecting Ronda?
Now, see, that's what some people are saying. Some people are saying Dana's trying to keep Ronda at the top and that Cyborg is the one that can bring her down.
Mm. So why? I mean, do you think – okay. I think the bigger picture is because with Dana, at the end of the day, it's got to be about the money.
Exactly.
At least for the Silver Brothers, okay? So let's just call out the real bosses of the UFC. So for the Silver Brothers, it's all about the money.
Okay, you said the real bosses of the UFC, so explain, if you can't explain that.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the money.
The real owners, where the money's really going.
I'm talking about the money, okay?
They're
the ones who pick the matches, okay? They're the ones decide who gets how much money, okay? So, you know, and they're basically the bankroll behind the UFC.
Well, let me go back in my corner then, okay. My bad.
No, you can
come in back. Come in the corner.
That's all right. Any question, good question. You come up for a breath sometime.
Because your question may be someone else's question.
But so now get your glass of water, sit back, and be quiet. Let us do this.
All right. but it sounds like they're trying to protect Ronda, because if Ronda was to go down, can you imagine what kind of champion Chris Cyborg would be? And I'm not talking about fighting wise, but I'm talking about marketability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Ronda's supposed to, she's a you know, bona fide movie star now. You gotta give her credit.
Yeah,
she's modeling now.
Yeah.
You know, she's on the covers of almost every magazine, and not just fighting magazines, but even mainstream magazines. So can you see Chris Cyborg on the, you know, having that same kind of success? Maybe with movies as a villain, but does she have that crossover?
Why she got to be a villain?
Well, because
what?
Everybody's scared of her.
Okay. You know, I try to push you there.
Yeah, I know. And you see, I got right out of it.
I try to push you a little bit. Yeah, they want to say she got that little manly approach.
Yeah.
But, no, I give her due.
Yeah.
But, you know, but like you said, you know, look at the propaganda that comes from behind, both of them, all the good publicity they can get. Think about when Gina was first there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everything she pulled up, and then she won her way. You know, and now Ronda's doing it, too.
And who took Gina out?
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So she's still, like, the lady in waiting.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like Muhammad Ali telling everybody, hey, you just holding my title.
Yeah.
I'm coming back to get this thing.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but honestly, you're trying to promote women's sports, you know, you're bringing a lot of them from over in Invictica, to come over.
I see Invictus.
And so, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you want to promote them so strong? And if she's going to be in, I mean, you got somebody strong in Ronda.
Okay.
Okay. And if Chris comes in, you got to have somebody who's also strong or stronger. Okay. But your top seeds are strong up in here. So that's giving you a good balance there, giving you something to see and something for people to go for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got ladies that are climbing along, and honestly, who's going to get up there and get them? I don't know. But if they can do it, I'm saying somebody else can do it. There's somebody out there. And this thing is growing.
Well, hey.
So why wouldn't you want this publicity? And why wouldn't you want Dana? Why wouldn't Dana really want her up in there? And what's his big thing with her?
Well, I guess, you know, like right now, she's supposed to be the face. And so you want a face that mainstream America, and note I said America, not the world, but mainstream America can relate to. I mean, it really is about that. See, one thing I've learned playing football, and one thing I learned playing doing martial arts, and one thing I learned with track, it's all politics. It's not always the best person out there. It's the face or the star of the field. I mean, I hate to say this.
Well, that's acting.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, hey, you know, that main actor gets up there and he shoots the part, but when it's time to get hit, up, Yeah. Cut, stand in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that other guy comes take that punch, and then we go back. We're still in that phase.
Yeah. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of, I know I'm going to offend some of you old school people, but, you know, the Supremes. Diana Ross was not the best voice, but they picked her because of her looks. So not everybody who's the best always gets the lead. You know what I'm saying? So if Sarah McMahon wins, it's going to put whole women's MMA in a tailspin, because now you're going to have someone who actually can be diverse in her fighting, but she's not going to be diverse as far as sellability.
But check this out now. So if McMahon does win the fight, and that forcibly puts Ronda into second place, okay, will Dana try to hold it off and give Ronda that fight again to reclaim?
Yeah.
Or will he let Cyborg, or will he not care and then like let Cyborg come in and fight McMahon?
No. No, he's going to give Ronda her second chance, because, first of all, people are not going to believe it. Okay? People are going to say, oh, that was a fluke. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to try to say, hey, let's go ahead and bring Ronda back and make Sarah McMahon prove that she actually won that. Okay? Now, God forbid Ronda gets broken, you know, a bone broke or something, then they're going to say it was a fluke. We all know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I think Ronda's time at the mountain is numbered, but I think she can come back. I think she's going to come back stronger should she lose, because it's going to force her to reassess her game, come back and learn some new techniques, some new styles, probably even take up some Thai classes. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And complete her game. Because if you look at Ronda, all the stuff she's done some amazing things. Let's just put that out there. She was 17 when she went to qualify for the Athens game in 2004. 17.
Now, give her credit for being hard. She's, yeah. I mean, she's done her due. She's done her due.
But, you know, again, we're talking about skill versus face. You know what I mean? And that's why Cormier and Patrick Cummings are taking over the fight, because now we got somebody who's arguing, selling the point. But I guarantee you that this fight, if it had been Chris Cyborg versus Ronda Rousey, we'd be like, Daniel, who?
You're right.
Taking away from Daniel, because Daniel would be in the back.
No, but no, that second card, I mean, that main card would have just been the talk of the town, man.
That's
You know, that would have been a world-class move.
It wouldn't even be a co-main event.
Hey, real quick, guys, you get more Twitter reaction here.
Go ahead.
From Cliff Wright, he says he's listened to the show, loves the show. And he's actually riding riding through a damn blizzard on my way to UFC 170.
Oh.
So I don't know where he's, I guess he's coming from Canada maybe somewhere, but he sends you guys a big shout out.
Well, hey man, be careful out there. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, and after you go, call back and give us your opinions on, you know, what you saw there. Yeah. But again, hey, it's snowing out there, so hey, be careful.
Be careful. But definitely let us know who won and what you thought about the fights. Let's talk about, since, you know, he's coming from Canada, let's talk, and by the way, let's give a shout out to Canada.
Canada.
but let's talk about Canada's own Roy McDonald. Okay, so he's coming off a loss to Robbie Lawler, okay, which derailed his welterweight run for championship, because, you know, many people thought he was long overdue because he was just steamrolling a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy can punch, he can kick.
Well, like he trained with George.
Well, yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, I give him credit for having some good attributes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because George has a heck of a train-out regime behind him.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, I said train-out, I meant workout, huh? But, you know, so I expected a little more from him.
Yeah.
I really did. I expect a little more from him.
Yeah. Well, you know, apparently a lot of people did, too. And so now he's taking this fight with Damian Maia, who's one of the top grapplers in the world. Okay, who just lost his to another top grappler his last fight to Jake Shields.
Shields, yep.
But Roy McDonald, you know, I'm picking him to win this fight because he has everything. He has hands, he can handle the ground, you know. But when you get punched in the face, Damian Maia tends to kind of cower up a little bit. His hands is getting
bigger. Man, when you block with your face, that happens, okay?
How do you block with your face?
You catch punches.
Oh.
And it makes you cower up.
I like what Uriah Faber said. You know, all your training go out in the window when you get hit in the face.
Well, that's what Mike Tyson said. Everybody got a plan to get hit.
Everybody's
you know,
a champion. Everybody step in the cage.
Hey, but wait. I'm going to jump in right quick and cut on this.
Go ahead.
Because I want to jump in on some other UFC news.
Okay.
I really want to talk about, you know, Senator John McCain used to be the UFC's biggest adversary.
Here
you know, back in the 80s. You know, but now it's like 16 years later, and he told John Jones that he'd be watching, you know, his fight with Glover on April 26th.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and in 77, wow, I'm taking y'all back. In 97, Senator McCain dubbed the USC, he called it the human cockfight.
Yeah.
You know, but now 16 years later, he's looking forward to UFC 172. He's still not a big fan, but he has repeatedly said positive comments about how the MMA has come and how it's grown.
Well, you know, the UFC has changed since, you know, back in the 90s when he was watching it.
Well, true. You know, because, you know, when you got to remember, it's a lot more sanctioned.
Yeah.
The rules. I mean, you know, when we came in, everybody was at their own discipline. Everybody wore whatever.
Right.
I mean, pretty much you come in, you wearing tap out or something.
Right.
You know, in that form.
Right.
You know, of shorts.
Right.
You know, or something like that. So, yeah.
And not to mention, they used to have plastic for the people in the front row to catch the blood.
To catch blood, yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
So I can see why he would think that at the time, you know what I'm saying? But it's funny that a boxer, an amateur boxer, would look at fighting and say, or this human cockfighting? Because at one time, boxing was considered that too.
Well, that's why I said that, because, you know, you want to call it human cockfighting. How can you say one art is more brutal than another when, at the end of the day, they both bring a beat down?
Yeah. I mean, you still say ouch.
Excellent.
Somebody goes,
you know,
say ouch.
Chael Sonnen said ouch.
Yeah. Rashad said, oh, wait, this is a fight.
I got to get you. Hey, remember, check this out.
Okay.
Thiago Silva.
Oh, man.
That, what? Did you hear about that, man? That's so sad,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he was arrested after a standoff with the police. He got multiple charges, man. He got 2 counts of attempted felony murder, 1 count of aggravated battery with the weapon. But the defense opted to reduce the charges against Silva to 2 counts of felony aggravated assault with a firearm, aggravated burglary with a deadly weapon, and resisting arrest without violence.
Went to the school with a gun, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man.
And then on top of that, you know, talking about a long, bad day, Dana White terminated his contract effectively.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
immediately.
He did.
And I can't say that I blame him for something like that.
No, because you have to be careful because, and see, these are adults.
Yeah.
Okay, and this guy is a great fighter, has a lot of attributes behind him, but he's still human.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out here and his mind went somewhere else, okay, and he acted totally, what we want to say, out of character.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, this relates back to me to that subject we had about kids in MMA.
Right.
You know, about turning on aggression and turning it off. If I got a grown guy over here and he has trouble turning his on and off, what does that really do to a kid? I just want to tap on that because somebody, that kind of jumps in my mind because somebody had asked me about that earlier too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think we need to talk about that because, you know, same thing with football. You know, we talk about the Richard Sherman situation, you know, catching somebody after a match or after a game, and they're not going to say all the things that you want to say or hear, you know, that's PC, but they are going to give you some great sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, once you're a fighter, your mindset, some people have these clicks. You know, I hear people talk about, man, I just went black, or I just blacked out. I don't even know.
I saw red, man. All I saw was red.
Yeah, so... You know, and sometimes it is difficult to turn it on, turn it off in, you know, regular, you know, civilian society.
Well, see, you got to think about this, too, as aggression goes, because as we are fighters, okay, we know when we feel keyed up inside, we go to that bag. You know, we mm-hmm. take the frustration out on that bag.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day.
Or Bob.
I'm glad we have the bag or Bob to go take that on. So nothing right. goes home, you know. And hopefully, you know, you let all the energy out. You're in there with the guys. You have right. good camaraderie and what have you. And you let that out in a positive way, you know, versus going back, you know, grabbing a weapon and doing something crazy.
Right.
Because if you're a fighter, you have that monster in you.
Mm-hmm.
That monster's there.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to contain him.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, especially with somebody being disrespectful or even challenging you to a fight. You know, you got to walk away from that. You got to learn how to say, you know, I know I can take this person, so why do I need to prove it? You know, I always tell people, you know, 3 times a week I get to see how bad I am. 3 times a week I get to see how bad I'm not.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying?
There it
so
is. There
I don't
is.
Need to go outside and prove that.
There it is.
You know what I mean?
There it is.
But, hey, we got to tell people, hey, you know, we got to tell people about the show. We got to keep them coming back every week.
That's right.
Night,
that's right.
7:30 to 8:30. P.M. Central Time.
That's right, Central Standard Time.
And, hey, please call in, 214-814-5890, or hit us up on trialsmartialart@gmail.com. So, I guess we're coming to the end of our...
We're coming to the end of the show?
Of our show.
So, oh, man.
But let's go back over this. Let's recap. So who you picking? I'm picking Sarah McMahon over Ronda. Who you got?
You know what? I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to take her.
Okay. And I'm going with Cormier over Cummings.
Yeah, I'll do that too.
Okay. I got Rory over Damian Maia.
I'm with you there.
Okay. And I got Mike Powell over TJ.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, we'll see you guys next Wednesday night, 7:30, 8:30. And hit us up on Trials Martial Radio at gmail.com.
Hey, and call in, because we want to know what you thought about 170. So we'll be looking forward to hearing you.
Next week.